Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, and oh yeah, sometimes the international. And just like the dude said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three, which is inexplicable to me that we're already at hour number three. But we're shifting gears. So number two on the triple dipper for the day, I'm just calling it Stand With Israel. And I made mention earlier, and if you heard my monologue at the beginning of the show, you know that I said that I don't want to be on the wrong side of history with this. We don't need to be on the, wrong side of history. And think where we were just a mere 4 years ago with the Abraham Accords going into effect and the U.S. Embassy being moved to Jerusalem and Iran's General Qasem Soleimani being taken out as a clear indication that we were no longer going to mess with Iran. And now where are we? 4 years later. It's amazing. Well, a guest is coming on right now who has a former strategic planner, Major General Joe Arbuckle. He and I first began interacting because of his work with a group called STARS. That's two R's in there. STARS, S-T-A-R-R-S. STARS stands for Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. STARS is an organization of retired officers and senior enlisted who want our military to be strong, to be anti-woke, and to have its integrity and its pride and its capabilities fully in effect. But General Arbuckle and I, as we've talked more often than not, we've also found that he's fully capable of providing great commentary on current events as they relate to the military especially. So General Arbuckle started his career in the late 60s, served through the late 90s. He began as a young officer serving in Vietnam as an advisor to the South Vietnamese Infantry. He moved on there through a great career working in missile and air defense, even served here in Alabama at Red Star and Arsenal, if I'm not mistaken, and all the way up until he assumed command of the U.S. Army Industrial Operations Command at Rock Island, Illinois. Folks, he's been there and done that, and I'm glad to have him back on the show. General Arbuckle, how you doing, sir?
Doing fine, Colonel Phil. Pleasure to be back with you and speak with you again. And thanks for the plug about STARS. Great organization, as you know.
It is. And I was really proud recently to be appointed to the Board of Advisors. And so thank you for that honor.
Well, we're honored to have you on board. You bring a lot of credibility and knowledge with you. So great team effort.
Absolutely. Well, hey, sir, you know, I was thinking as I looked at your resume again right before we went on the air, you might even have some thoughts on what we just saw this past weekend, even from an air defense and missile command capability, even though we're in a different era and the technology is changing rapidly, even by the day. I'm sure you could speak to it from that standpoint. But give me your loose thoughts up front, first of all, about Iran and what happened this past weekend with Israel.
Right. Well, just from an overview standpoint, that was a huge success for the air defense capabilities, obviously, of the IDF, along with allies to include us and Jordan, and I think France was there also. I heard you mention earlier the amount of aerial vehicles that Iran had sent in to Israel. That's over 330. And I read a report earlier today that United States Air Force, I believe, F-15s, knocked down a total of 70 of those, and a combination of drones and cruise missiles.
Yeah.
Of course, the rest came from Israeli defense forces. But they have probably the strongest air defense network in the world just because of where they're located and the threat they're up against. In a general overview kind of a comment also, you know, these drones and the cruise missiles, the low-cost, highly accurate cruise missiles, are changing the face of warfare. And that's something when you really need to put a lot of thought into, because it just shows how vulnerable targets like our capital ships out there floating around, as well as fixed installations, these very, very cheap and highly accurate AI, basically programmed and controlled devices. That's going to change the face of warfare, as I said. And you're right, I did have a couple of really enjoyable tours there, Huntsville, Redstone Arsenal. I got trained in missile systems there early on. I think it was after I got back from Vietnam in 73 and came back again to get trained on the Pershing system. So I've got a lot of background in missiles, and I appreciate their effectiveness.
Well, I look at this too, and it's almost like in some ways what we're seeing with the with drone capability and with missiles it's even becoming a poor man's option, if you will. I mean, we're watching the Houthis launch drone attacks against shipping. And who are the Houthis? They've got a little more capability than just something like a Somali militia. But nonetheless, it's still not a nation state. It's a terrorist organization launching drone attacks. And so there is that to be considered. But at the same time, we watched Iran make what was the very first ever, I believe, nation-on-nation attack from Iranian soil to Israeli soil.
Exactly. That's unheard of. And the big question in everybody's mind is, what's Israel going to do about it in terms of responses right now? And, of course, we know that Biden's administration is basically trying to limit the scope and size of the reaction coming out of Israel. In fact, Biden has reportedly told Bibi Netanyahu, take a win, and basically move on. In other words, tit for tat, basically, in this thing. But Israel, in my opinion, obviously cannot do that. They've got some choices, obviously. They can go after things, they can go after people, they can go after a combination of both. And what I mean by that is they can retaliate going after the missile launch facilities and other infrastructure that supports that, along with command and control centers, et cetera. Those are the things they can hit. Or they can target members of the regime, the people, as they've done in the past with the IRGC and taking out, as you mentioned, I think Soleimani, and most recently on 1 April, which precipitated the attack from Iran, where they killed seven of the IRGC members in Syria, to include two of their top generals who have been reported to have been responsible for the planning of the 7 October attack on Israel. So there's two cases right there where Israel goes after kind of the head of the snake in terms of the people involved in launching these strikes. So who knows? I don't know which direction they're going to go, but they can't sit back and do nothing. And I think it'll be rather substantial.
Well, I think they have to. I mean, I think they also at this point have pretty neatly blocked and really even embarrassed Iran. There's one headline on Fox News that says that Iran and its terror proxies are completely stunned by the failure of what was otherwise intended to be a saturation bombing.
Correct. And I'm sure the Iranian regime was hoping to inflict a lot of casualties on Israel. And as you just kind of indicated, that did not happen. But the problem is, of course, there's a lot of munitions expended from an air defense standpoint and also from a aircraft standpoint. And it takes time to replace those munitions. And so it's a game of numbers in some cases.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead. And who knows? Well, we do know that Iran has a large stockpile. In fact, they've been selling drones and other similar type smaller missiles to Russia for Russia to use against Ukraine very effectively. So they've got that on their side. And Israel is constantly asking us for support, of course, in replacing the missiles that we help supply them with.
Well, I think Israel, you know, the ADA branch of the U.S. military sometimes gets overlooked because people think of, you know, the infantry or the armor or the other, you know, but this has proven itself once again, maybe even more so in today's modern era, to be a vital component to the branches.
Absolutely. It always has been, always will be. But one thing I found interesting today, I saw early on some what looked like a video of a gun camera aboard a fighter aircraft shooting down a drone. Well, you know, drones fly very, very slow, as well as cruise missiles, so they're kind of mouth-watering targets for a fighter pilot and relatively easy to take out. So we can't forget that dynamic either.
Well, sir, if you don't mind, could you hang on during a break? We have to take a break right now. We're scheduled to, but I'd like to continue this discussion a little bit further and talk about the Biden administration's response and where we are now compared to 4 years ago. Is that all right with you?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Listen, we're on the line right now with Major General Joe Arbuckle, a long and storied career, which included a great deal of time in air defense and missile technology, as well as serving right here in Alabama at Redstone Arsenal. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and Just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going back to the phones right now with retired Major General Joe Arbuckle, who had an amazing career, which included, by the way, strategic level planning and, oh, by the way, missiles and air defense. Talking about what happened this past weekend with Iran launching just a massive attempt at a saturation bombing of Israel. Didn't work out. But yet we shouldn't also underestimate the geopolitical implications of what it really means. Hey, sir, let me ask you this. I saw that President Biden, the Secretary of Defense Austin, I think that Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State, and I believe the National Security Council's spokesperson, Kelly, they all came out and said when they were asked about the threat potentially looming of Iran doing something, they had one word. They just said, don't. That was their response, don't. And yet, Iran did anyway. Your thoughts on that?
When I heard that, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, you're talking about Kirby, for sure. The
Kirby, yes.
Guy. Yeah. Who knows where that came from, but obviously it was well-planned and orchestrated. But here's what happens, obviously, to our deterrence value when they say something like that and don't back it up. They say don't, and then Iran goes ahead and does it. Well, that means to the rest of the world, to include the Chinese and Russia and the North Koreans, that they don't really care. We have no deterrent credibility left anymore, for good reason. And that's a bad place to be. But tied to that, if I may, the Biden administration has been walking down a very dangerous road, Phil, in my view, and I'm sure you agree. And that is, on one hand, they say, our support for Israel is ironclad. That's the word they're using, ironclad. But on the other hand, when you look at their actions, it's the opposite. For example, I think you mentioned early on with the Abraham Accords, that was probably the best hope we had for reasonable peace in the Mideast in at least my lifetime. They walked away from that right away as soon as Biden came in the office. Same thing with the nuclear deal, the Iran nuclear deal. They started reengaging back into that, and Trump, of course, had killed that. And then they unfroze about $10 billion in Iranian assets, $10 billion for them to go out and buy and procure all these weapons that we see being put on the battlefield today. On top of that, the Iranian oil revenues have increased because we stopped basically producing, and now we're energy dependent, as you know. And on top of that, finally, the Biden administration is holding back the IDF and Netanyahu from doing what they really want to do in the Gaza Strip with Hamas. They basically got sort of some restraints put on them to include temporary ceasefires and so forth. So all those actions, when you add them up, are not ironclad support of Israel, as they claim.
No, they're not. And it's amazing how far Biden has sort of retrograded just in the four years since the Abraham Accords were signed. They were signed, I think, in September of 2020. So we're not even 4 years. And yet we also moved our embassy, you know, to Jerusalem and signaled to the world that we take Israel very seriously, and we're not going to just cater to the whims of the radical Islamists in the Middle East. And like you said, it's as if the deterrent capability is just gone. There's no credibility left in any of it.
Exactly. And, you know, that really became to the forefront with our disastrous debacle in Afghanistan, where basically the Biden administration surrendered on the battlefield in the middle of combat to terrorists.
Yeah.
That sent a signal around the world that they're not serious about defense of the United States.
Well, I agree with that completely, and that still gets in my craw pretty quick, having served there myself. But let me ask you this, sir, with about 2.5 minutes left, your thoughts on Israel's next steps. And I know that we're hearing that Biden is asking them to back off, but I think you and I would both agree that Netanyahu, himself being a former warrior, is not likely to just take a passive approach to Iran.
No. No, he's not. He can't afford to. And Israel has always acted in its own best interest because they're an island, as we know, out there in the middle, in the Mideast. They have to defend themselves. That's been their legacy, their history throughout time. And so they will do whatever they think is necessary to defend themselves and stop a recurrence of a similar attack in the future, not to mention thinking about what happened to their people on 7 October. And I'm sure that looms heavy regarding the hostages that are still being held by Hamas within the Gaza Strip. So they've got a lot on their plate right now to balance out. And it's not going to be following the advice that Biden gave them, again, I mentioned earlier, which was to Bibi Netanyahu. You got to win with this knockdown of these 300 missiles and drones. Take the win. In other words, just take that and move on. That's not going to happen.
No, deterrence, looking back through history, has not usually been something that resulted in bad guys just stopping their bad actions. Right. Well,
real quick, for as you know, deterrence has two factors. One is you got to have the political will to use the capabilities, the military, and all the other instruments of power we have to use them effectively. And the second thing is you do have to have the military capability to back up whatever position the statesmen take for our country. Right now, we're seen as not having the political will to use our capability as we should.
Well, yes, sir. And it's an unfortunate circumstance. And I can't wait for the November elections, and I'm hoping that means a change. Well, sir, thank you for your time. And once again, thank you for your service. And we appreciate you making time for Right Side Radio today.
Always a pleasure to talk with you, Phil. And thanks for all your great patriotic work that you do. And again, for your participation in STARS, you're a great asset.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Talk soon.
You bet. Take care. Bye.
All right. That was retired Major General Joe Arbuckle. Just a great guy. In fact, we actually connected not only through STARS, which is an organization that fights against wokeness in the military on a national level, but we also discovered in the course of doing so that he and my dad served in the same unit in Vietnam, which was very cool. And he served here at Redstone while my grandfather was post commander, which is also very cool. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming into the last half hour. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers like a huge swath of ground across our overly broad listening area. Places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, 6 locations in and around the Birmingham area. Most recent one in Helena, I believe. But yeah, Southern Immediate Care, folks, every one of their facilities open 7 days a week. They will see all ages. I like to say pediatric to geriatric. They'll see them all. And this is, and I say it all the time, I mean it, this is who I use personally. And I do not use them because they advertise. I was using them, and I could not be more pleased with how clean, professional, how, you know, just absolutely competent they were in what they did. And I thought, I could brag on this. And I went and asked them, would you mind advertising on Right Side? And turns out they're owned by a Right Side ruffian. So how's that? Anyway, Southern Immediate Care. You need help, even on a Saturday. You look them up, find the location nearest to you, and head on down. And tell them, by the way, please, that you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Southern Immediate Care. All right, I got a call on the line. I'll take real quick. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing pretty well, except I'm a little irritated over what I remember, that the Obama administration actually sent a plane in the dead of the night with all kind of cash and fungibles and mega money. And I'm wondering if Iran used some of that money to build those weapons that they tossed at Israel, and we still help Israel fund some of their Iron Dome defense. We're spending money against ourselves.
Oh, we absolutely are. You absolutely are. We are allowing the funding of terror and then allegedly funding the response to terror. It's asinine. And don't forget, too, this, Brian, and not only the pallets of cash that went over because of Obama, but most recently, Biden lifted sanctions. Yeah, and then released $6 billion.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure there is a foreign policy except to screw things up. That's what it feels like.
Y'all have a blessed day, sir.
See you, man.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things that also happened, by the way, is a story here on Breitbart, Dateline yesterday. Biden let the UN sanctions on Iran's missiles expire before the unprecedented Israel attack. So, yeah, it says the administration of President Joe Biden did not move to renew expiring sanctions in Iran's drone and ballistic missile production at the United Nations in October. So think about this. We just saw an attempt to do a saturation bombing by ballistic missile and drone and land attack missiles from Israel's from Iran's sovereign soil to Israel, nation on nation. I cannot begin to describe to you how diplomatically huge that is. But if you also look back on it, it's not just that we're funding them. We're also removing the impediments. Biden does things like, he comes into office and the first thing he does is say, oh, the Houthis aren't terrorists. And he lifts their names right off of, by executive order, he removed the Houthis from the international terrorism watch list. And what are they doing now? Firing drones and attack missiles at ships, including U.S. ships. How about this? I did not know until I was studying up for today's show that the ability to make missiles, which involves technology that may be sourced outside of Iran, had been under sanction until last October. Huh. Go figure. Suddenly, the sanctions have been lifted or it is allowed to expire. Interesting. And then what do? They launch missiles and drones. So yeah, Tehran launched over 300 drones and missiles towards Israeli territory. The Iranian military had spent much of the past week threatening its retaliation, according to Breitbart, and they did. But the Israeli Defense Forces confirmed that over 300 threats of various types swarmed Israel from Iran, but 99% of them were intercepted, including all the drones and cruise missiles. It's a repudiation of Iran's capabilities. But it does not mean for a second that we don't have a really bad actor. Let's picture this. If somebody in your neighborhood sat over there across the street from your house on their property and decided to start shooting out the windows in your house, but they didn't kill anybody, would we go, okay, it's all over, it's done? Because the same guy who sat across the street willing to shoot at your house the first time, who didn't kill anybody the first time, did not lose his intent. He just didn't hit anything the first time. That's where we are on a national scale. Iran is sitting in its sovereign soil on the far side of Iraq, shooting missiles over Iraqi and Jordanian and Syrian airspace, trying to hit targets. And by the way, were they trying to hit military targets? Largely, no. They were firing at what is believed to be mass population centers. It even kind of shocked the Muslim world, because they were firing into Jerusalem, which is where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is, one of the most holy sites in all of Islam, right there on the Temple Mount, the Golden Dome you always see. I mean, it's like they were just game on, man. We're going to do whatever it takes. We don't care. And they thought they had it going on. They thought they had it. You don't fire 300 drones, rockets, and missiles because you just want to make a verbal statement. No, they were absolutely empty in the magazine, if you know what I'm saying. They were absolutely going to fire on full auto until they were done. And then they were shocked they didn't hit anything. And so what did they do? So Iran comes out after it's over, which is just classic, and claims success. It has been a successful, retaliation in self-defense, you knuckleheads. And they even warned, President Ebrahim Raisi of Iran warned Israel Sunday against any reckless retaliation. Don't you do it, we'll tell you mean things and stuff. These people are idiots. But they're dangerous idiots. Don't think for a second they're not. They're absolutely dangerous idiots. Thomas from Athens texted in. He says, hey, Colonel, thanks for having General Arbuckle on. Iran is using asymmetric warfare, cheap drones paid for with Biden-enabled billions, while U.S., Israel, Saudi Arabia, etc. spend money, many, many millions to take them out. Hezbollah has 100,000 rockets and missiles. Can the Iron Dome be overwhelmed? Also, Reuters reported that Biden knew about the attack, even though Tehran did not tell Washington. I suspect the Turkish or Jordanian governments told Washington, not Tehran. Well, you're exactly right. In fact, I'll tell you what. Bam. Story from the Jerusalem Post, Dateline yesterday. Iran informed Turkey in advance of its planned operations, a Turkish diplomatic source told Reuters on Sunday, adding that Washington had then conveyed to Tehran via Ankara, Turkey, that any action it took had to be, quote, within certain limits. In other words, Iran was telegraphing what it was going to do, making threats and bellicose rhetoric. And then, right before they did it, they told Turkey what they were going to do. Turkey, though, apparently did convey to the U.S. what we just learned, they say, to which the U.S. response was to please tell Iran, Turkey, please tell Iran, you know, keep it within certain limits. You know what I'm saying? Keep it down to a minimum. What the heck is that? What kind of ally is that? How about this? You pick up the phone, you call Bibi Netanyahu. You say, listen, hey, Bibi, this is Joe. Be aware, we just got word. This is coming. Maybe they did do that, but I don't think so. Iran, it says, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke to Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan and said, Iran formed us in advance of what would happen. Possible developments also came up during the meeting with Blinken, and they, the U.S., conveyed to Iran through us that the reaction must be within certain limits. What kind of knuckleheaded stuff is that? Unbelievable. Now, here's the other thing. So, here at home, we're seeing stuff happening today. And I do not think we need to lower our guard. I mean, you know, earlier Sparky from Harvest called in, and he said, we gassed up the cars and gassed up some extra fuel cans, and I get it. I do. I felt that way. Listen. There's a reason why we need to be constantly aware of our times. And do not think of them as isolated in nature. And do not stop paying attention. It does not mean you need to just, you know, immerse yourself in it and lose sight of everything else, and you can't live without seeing the news. I mean, I'm a news hound, I'll be honest with you. It's what I do for a living. How about that? But the truth be told, there is still a bigger picture. And yes, you have to do things that you know, you have to set it aside sometimes, and you have to remember hope, and you have to recognize where your strength lies, and you have to take care of your family and do it. That being said, what I also don't want to portray is that in any way you should look aside from these events this past weekend, because this was not small. Israel is still standing. And Israel will continue to stand. And we need to be on the right side of history with this. Israel just basically dismissed. I mean, this reminds me of the scene from Tombstone where he looks over and goes, "Why, Johnny, I did not know you were still here. You may go now." That's how it feels. Iran just got dismissed like a punk. But now they're mad, and they recognize they've been embarrassed on the world stage. They launched 300 munitions, none of which had true effect. But do not think for a second that that in some way mitigates what's happening. And right here in the United States, I mean, I'm watching a video right now. It's been a thing today. All the pro-Palestinian protesters are blocking up roads. They're in the wake of this attack on Israel. They feel somehow emboldened by it. And out in San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge has been locked down by people who have handcuff themselves to the bridge. And they do these things where they handcuff their arms together inside of a long PVC pipe so that you can't get the handcuffs cut. And then they just stand there and they won't move. I don't know how long they intend to leave or leave themselves staying there. So San Francisco has been log jammed today. I am looking at one, though, and I don't know where in Florida this is, but somebody posted a video of police dragging protesters off the road saying, "Pro-Hamas protesters tried blocking the roads in Florida today, and they were dragged to the sidewalk almost immediately. We don't tolerate road blocking here in Florida. In fact, it's now a felony punishable by up to 15 years in prison." What I am saying, though, is this. These chuckleheads who have been out there, you know, calling for ceasefires, and it's a genocide, and it's horrible what's happening right now. They were cheering over the idea of Iran trying to bomb Israel. They're not about peace. They're about anti-Israel. That's what they're about. This is not about ceasefire. This is about we need more fire as long as it's directed at Israel. All right, Big Rig, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back and we'll bat clean up for the rest of the day. I'm saying it's been a two-dipper day. Two-dipper. But, man, they've been full. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. A couple of quick test messages, and then I'll go to the phones. I believe somebody's on the phone. Scott from Russellville says, did Baghdad Bob move to Iraq? He may have. Baghdad Bob was hilarious. I mean, he was cartoonish. There is nothing to see here. There is no problem. There are no U.S. tanks entering Baghdad. And there they were. We got another texter who is called the ruminating rocker from Flint Creek. Says, I'd like to be the ruminating rocker from Flint Creek. I embarrass my kids with my comments. Okay, he's brand spanking new in the text lines. He says, I want to be part of the protected class like ladies of all ages used to be. Okay. Thank you, man. Appreciate you, ruminating rocker, and glad you're in the text line. This should be fun. John from Huntsville says, the grades are in, and Big Rig, you got an A++. Phil got an A++, but the winners are Phil's guest speakers, A++, both of them. Also, just want to say my dad's back pains are doing much better. Glad to hear it, John. So glad, man. Thank you, brother. Let me go to the phones real quick. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. What you doing, Jeff?
I think Baghdad Bob had a child, and I think his name's Kareem.
No,
that wouldn't work, would it?
So where are you right now, brother?
I'm burning up the road at 5 mph, and guess where?
Oh, that'd be Nashville. You're in Nashville.
Yeah, you'd be right. Imagine that.
Well, what do you think about this past weekend with Iran and Israel?
Oh my gosh, the Biden administration, and it's, I'm going to make this prediction, and sadly, it's probably going to become true. Is going to be indirectly or directly accountable for more deaths than Stalin and Hitler combined.
Wow.
In the long run.
Wow.
And I'm not take that to the bank, you know, because the way we're doing things, they're causing the wars that pop up now. That could have been prevented, and basically turned their back on Israel, and it's basically we've got a country full of people. The administration right now is playing Russian roulette, and we've got going to kill the whole body here, and half of us is sitting there egging him on and everything, and half of us saying no, dummy, don't do that because it's going to kill us all.
Yeah,
and. At what point do you sit there and just have to take over control of the idiots? Because these people are not intelligent enough to self-govern.
No, and in fact, what's interesting, I said in my monologue earlier, if you look back, there are people who have served with Biden, to include Barack Obama himself, that know for a fact and have even said it, that he has the propensity to screw stuff up. And that, I think it was Robert Gates, Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, who served under both Biden and Bush, who said that he's been wrong on pretty much every foreign policy decision for over 40 years.
Exactly. I mean, at what point do you think that the Iranians will attain nuclear weapons, and then it's, like I say, it's going to kill more people than...
Yeah.
Because of the feckless leadership between Obama and Biden, thinking that they could... I don't know what they were thinking, that they could... give Iranians money, and that they wouldn't be mean or mad. It's a theocracy. These people are nuts. They have an agenda to kill people that don't believe like they do, and that it's just like being Christians trying to convert people to Christianity. That's their goal.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and think if they're marching in the streets and being encouraged by their leadership to yell things like "Death to America," "Death to Israel." Maybe we ought to go ahead and just take them at their word.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
that's the trouble. People think, well, they're just blowing smoke and everything. Well, no, that's their religion. That's what they believe in. It's just like, like I say, it's a religion. Just like the greening of the world and everything's a religion. All these global warming people and stuff and everything. It's more than just a thought process or a belief. It's basically a religion because they have dyed in the wool and they believe it hook, line, and sinker that they can actually do something about it.
All right, brother, I got to leave it there, but be safe on the road. We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Thank you, Phil. I don't think a crash would hurt me right now at 5 mph.
Well, be safe anyway. We appreciate you, bro.
Thank you, buddy.
Jay from Hartzell just texted in. He said, who are we to tell Israel what they should or shouldn't do in response to Iran? If we were in their shoes, would we let someone tell us how to respond? A little hypocritical. I agree with you. Charlie from Huntsville says, hey, Phil, after Israel responds to the attack and destroys targets in Iran, does that mean now that Biden is going to have to spend some money over there to Iran to build them back up? That's a question. All right, you guys, have an amazing night. We will see you soon.